It's Sunday morning. Time for the Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. And thank you so much for listening this morning. I hope you enjoy the show. I'm going to cover West Nile virus, which is popping up again in an area that's quite a bit of concern. I'm going to talk about the changes in the habits of birds and how they are in short generations, short lifespans. So you have many generations occurring over a relatively short time period, and how that in particular has changed the world for wood ducks and could be a harbinger of things we can do with other bird species, which is really interesting. And then I want to talk about the effort to cut red tape in the government and offer some ideas that may be to take hold. So starting off, though, first of all, happy holiday season. We'll be back next Sunday morning, the day before Christmas, with my annual holiday show, and I hope you'll enjoy that. But ruffed grouse capture our attention right off the bat this morning. Ruffed grouse are a secretive bird. They are a highly sought-after game bird. They live in woods, the woods of northern Wisconsin. They live in the woods of Michigan. They live in the woods of Ontario. And they live in the woods of Minnesota. They live in the woods of the Northeast. But in our part of the world, we think of northern Wisconsin, Minnesota, the UP, Michigan, and Ontario as and parts of Manitoba as great ruffed grouse habitat, a game bird that for those who are ruffed grouse hunters feel there's no equal walking in the woods in the fall with the changing of leaves and the crunching of leaves underfoot and the crisp fall air. And being in the woods is to be with ruffed grouse. And to shoot a ruffed grouse is really, well, that's probably the last thing you do when you're ruffed grouse hunting. First of all, you get sticks in your face, and you get slapped with twigs against your face on a cold morning, and that's like having a rusty razor hit you. And you hear the grouse flush, the unmistakable sound of a rough grouse flushing, and you look through the thicket to see it and hope you can get a shot. And of course, probably 9 in 10 times you never do. But most rough grouse hunters talk about not how many birds they shot, but how many flushes they had. How many flushes? Yeah, I had 12 flushes. I had 20 flushes. I only had 2 flushes. Sometimes you only have 2 flushes and you have 2 birds. Sometimes you have 20 flushes and you have no birds. But it is a game bird that the Ruffed Grouse Society was started to try to protect. And it is really, it's about the North Woods and the many, many, many miles that people put on their boots in search of a ruffed grouse come the fall. And the drumming of ruffed grouse in spring is legendary on their drumming ground. So what does all of this have to do this morning? West Nile virus has been discovered for the first time in ruffed grouse populations. And it is of huge concern because we saw what happened to other bird populations, such as crows, that had West Nile and how it nearly wiped out populations, and those that survived, of course, were immune to it. But those that didn't saw their populations plummet. So ruffed grouse hunters are worried that West Nile virus has now been confirmed. Michigan has announced Monday the first findings in the state. 5 birds were collected through trapping from August through October that had West Nile virus. A couple were found dead, a couple were shot, others were trapped. So what do we do? The UP, Upper Peninsula, seems to be an area where they may be more concentrated outbreak of West Nile virus. Pennsylvania, also a big rough grouse state, may have West Nile virus. So the important questions were answered. West Nile virus clearly kills ruffed grouse, and as many as 80% of the grouse exposed to the virus are killed outright or have their chances for survival reduced. That is according to the game bird biologists from Pennsylvania. So it is absolutely lethal. In Pennsylvania, 13% of the grouse that were brought in for testing by hunters were had West Nile virus. Every county in Pennsylvania has West Nile virus in grouse. This is grouse. Obviously, some of them are surviving, but what we don't know is how long the West Nile virus has been in the bird species. We don't know, has it been in the decade since we first discovered West Nile? But the problem is it's so hard to trap or get data on grouse because they're such a secretive bird. And what's particularly alarming is that grouse run in cycles. They're 7 and 9 year cycles, and this has been known for years. The cause of these cycles is hotly debated. Is it due to the abundance of predator birds that come down from Canada? And if the rabbit population is low, do rough grouse suffer? There's been a debate going on since the beginning of time almost that people cared about grouse as to what causes these cycles. But what is clear is that we are supposed to be in an up bird section of the cycle. We're supposed to be nearing the peak, but the number of birds is not following a cycle. And we've been able to map these cycles now for 50 or 60 years, and we know where we are in the 7 and 9 year cycles of the birds' high and low populations. We should be peaking, but, and by the way, this cycle has been documented for 7 decades, 70 years. We've known there's a cycle. We just don't know what causes it. So many hunters are asking, what's wrong? Where are the birds? And the result is that perhaps West Nile is killing them at a time when they should be peaking. In Minnesota, hunters harvested an average of half a grouse a day per hunter, which is the lowest number of harvested birds in recorded history per hunter. And the number of adults to immature birds was markedly different. Ordinarily, the immature bird population makes up over more than 7 of 10 of the grouse that are shot by grouse hunters. Now it's almost 50-50. So grouse recruitment has been terrible, and is that a result of the West Nile virus? So what can be done about it? Nobody really knows. But they have not documented the disease in rough grouse in Wisconsin yet. But in Wisconsin, a total of only 8 grouse have been tested for West Nile virus, and all were negative. So it's possible that the disease is just now impacting the northern reaches of the grouse range. The West Nile virus affects more than 250 species of wildlife, as well as humans and horses. So this is difficult to say what is going to happen. But it's clearly bad news for grouse. And bad news for grouse is bad news for the economies of Minnesota, Wisconsin, the UP, Ontario, as tens of thousands of hunters each fall head to the woods on annual pilgrimages to walk and have trees and slap in their faces and look at the beautiful fall colors and hope to shoot a grouse. If the population crashes, which some are afraid it might, then the commerce that's associated with grouse hunting will also crash. So more to come on this, but the bottom line is it's very, very disconcerting, and there is a real reason to raise an alarm. There may be nothing we can do about it. But right now, the outlook for grouse is not as bright as it should be. I'll be back in just a moment with more on the Great Outdoors Show, and when I do, I'm going to talk about the amazing recovery and habitat changes of the wood duck. So while grouse are headed one way, wood ducks, one of the most beautiful birds on earth, are headed another. Be back in just a minute. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN, and first a message from your Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. And switching from the word of nest West Nile and grouse, I'm going to switch to wood ducks. And the success story of the recovery of wood duck populations is one that should give us all reasons to be really optimistic about our abilities to bring back bird species from the brink. In the case of wood ducks, the wood duck, primary wood duck habitat was all of the alluvial floodplains of the rivers of the Midwest and the South, where they nested in trees, and we had millions of acres of trees. The South in particular, from St. Louis to the Gulf of Mexico, was basically a forest, with a few exceptions of prairies of Arkansas, but all the Mississippi Delta was forested in the state of Mississippi, all the Louisiana, all the way down the Mississippi till you got to the just north of the coast was forested. In Illinois, we had huge forests along the Mississippi in their floodplains in the Illinois, and wood ducks were as populous, according to the settlers, as mosquitoes, and there were plenty of mosquitoes because malaria was the number one killer of settlers, hard as that is to believe. So anyway, wood ducks were extraordinarily plentiful. They were believed not to migrate. The first hint of cold weather, they left. And the early ornithologists all felt that wood ducks were contained to the lower 48, with the biggest numbers being in the Southeast, the Midwest, and the South. Fast forward, they became a target of, their habitat was destroyed as tens of millions of acres of hardwood forests were cut down to make room for agriculture. The wood duck lost its nesting habitat. Put that on top of the desire, because of their beautiful feathers, to be made into hats for women at the turn of the last century. And the wood ducks collapsed. Along came Frank Belrose and others who were trying to, in the 40s, resurrect the population. They developed wood duck nesting boxes to replicate their original cavities in trees, and wood duck boxes would begin to appear all over in their former habitats, and the remnant populations began to use them. The season was closed, and over time, over roughly a 30-year time, the population began to respond until the season was opened on wood ducks, beginning with one wood duck a day. Many hunters didn't shoot them. They were viewed as too beautiful and not common enough. Then we went to two wood ducks a day, and their population continued to grow. And now we are at three wood ducks a day throughout the country for wood ducks during the waterfowl duck hunting season. Something else has happened. They have changed the way they migrate. Now there are wood ducks as far north as 500 miles north of Winnipeg. You look at the old maps that the ornithologists put together and the biologists put together, and it stopped in Minnesota. There was not a wood duck in the Dakotas, and there was not a wood duck in Manitoba, according to the maps and reports they had. Now there are wood ducks all over southern Canada. There are wood ducks in the Rocky Mountains. And cold weather does not seem to affect these birds. They have become birds that will hang in as long as mallards and as long as the hardiest of ducks, as long as there's food and water. If you're in an area where there's good wood duck habitat, you are going to have wood ducks. This was evidenced recently on a hunt in southern Illinois. It's been frozen for days. It's 22 degrees. And the first flight of ducks in the day was a big flight of wood ducks. Earlier in the week, it was evidenced in the coldest regions of the Rocky Mountains on a spring creek where everything is frozen. It's 10 above zero. There's not a duck around except for mallards and flights of wood ducks. They have totally adapted, and there is no end in sight as to what the wood duck population can do as it tries to grow. Because the habitat is now in place, they have adapted to modern society. Long ago, the commercial hunting of wood ducks went away. So if you think about a recovery in game birds, the wood duck is right up there with the turkey, and in many respects, it's actually more impactful than the turkey, because as other waterfowl species have declined, the wood duck has taken their place, and from a species that was not permitted to be hunted 50 years ago, couldn't shoot one, it's now the number three duck shot in the Mississippi Flyway. And in many states, it's the second most populous duck shot among hunters. So if you think about how that's changed, and you realize the life cycle of a wood duck is 2 to 3 years, so over 50 years, you are going to get 20 to 25 generations of development. Think about humanity in 25 generations of development, how we would change and how we have changed. We don't fit through doors that people walk through in the 1400s. That same evolution is happening with birds. And so we talk about, which I'll do another show, climate change and the impacts. All that is viewed in the static world. Birds adapt. They change very quickly. A couple of years is a new generation. Wood ducks are living proof of how adaptable, if we give birds a chance, they can be. Thank you very much for listening. Hope you've enjoyed the show. I'll be back next Sunday morning with more on the great outdoors, and I'm going to talk about Christmas presents. Cutting the red tape is going to be top on my list because I didn't get there today, and I'm going to talk about some examples that are taking place which could move mountains for the world of conservation if they just can be enacted. Thanks again. Have a great week in the great outdoors. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.